I don't know about you, but I'm not quite sure if we like the changing of seasons. Maybe next weekend we will, because we gain an hour.
Yeah.
But generally, we don't like change of season. You notice in the mornings now, it's getting a little bit crisper, isn't it? That little bit colder. You're going to have to start clearing the windscreen soon in the car and all of that kind of stuff. Most of the time, we don't like change. Can we be honest about that? Whether that's in church life, whether that's in our personal life, we kind of like things to be the same, and we get used to a particular pattern. And sometimes we assume that a change of season or a change of season in our own personal life is a negative thing, don't we? We kind of think, do you know what? I was happy with that. Particularly when it comes to church, people are so used to change in every other area of their life that when they come to church, they think, no, I want things to stay the same. I like things the way they are. But actually, when you look at the Bible and you see that seasons were ordained by God, it's not something that came in after the fall, but it's something that was part of God's created order, because we need those different seasons. And you as a church have entered a different season. No one would have wished Jim to leave you. He was a faithful pastor, we know that, as the head servant. What a great title. A godly man, a good man, but he's gone. He's gone to be with the Lord. And you as a church are entering a different season, and it's good to hear that you're getting support in that. But it is a season of transition for you. And I would encourage you to get behind the guys and pray for the church and get that letter and see how you can participate in that. And I just want to share a little bit from Exodus chapter 15, if you have your Bible. And I want to talk about responding to the season of transition. Change isn't always welcome. Change isn't always something we like. Change isn't always something we can embrace. I like the story of the guy who was interviewed on the TV. He was 100 years old, so they came round to them, and they were talking to him, and they said, oh, you must have seen a lot of change in your life. He said, yes, and I've been against every one of them. Well, in church life, that's not actually very helpful. We need to embrace change. We need to embrace the season of transition. And I think this story is a story that can help us see some principles for you as a church, for you as an individual. We should have a PowerPoint that we can follow along. But let me read Exodus 15. You'll know the story. The children of Israel have come out of the promised land. But suddenly now they're in a tight spot. And their backs are against the sea. It looks as if God has backed them into a corner. But actually, it was a new opening, a new season, a new transition for them as they cross the Red Sea to go into the promised land. And then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He's hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and army is hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters gushed over them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow those who rise against you. And we'll not read the rest of the chapter, but we'll pick up some points. So I want to suggest to you some stuff about how can we respond in a season of transition. What is it that God's asking us? What is it that he requires of us? Number one, in a season of transition, we respond by recognizing the nature of God. Do you see how much his focus is on God and who God is? Verse 1, he is highly exalted. Verse 6, he is majestic in power. Verse 11 goes on to say, he's majestic in holiness. He's awesome in power. Verse 18 says that the Lord will reign forever and ever. So time and time again, Moses is coming and saying, listen, in this season where you might feel it's a time of pain, where you might feel it's a time of uncertainty, where you might feel it's a time where you're uncomfortable, that actually we need to recognize the nature of God. That our focus isn't on the pain of the circumstances, because we can get locked into that, can't we? Let's be honest, when we're in pain, we can be a little bit grumpy. Now, I don't think that's just men, okay? I know it's true of me, this is my confession, that when I'm in pain, it's like... Any other men willing to admit that? Any other women willing to admit that for their men? Huh? Yeah. We're in church, so we need to be honest. So when we're in pain, it's very easy to get negative, isn't it? It's very easy to get locked into our circumstances. It's very easy to get locked into the things that can go wrong, the things that are wrong. And it always kind of is a vicious circle, isn't it? We get in that mindset and we begin to see the problems, whereas God sees opportunities. Because he has a different perspective, because he is a sovereign God, because he is a majestic God, because he does have a plan and a purpose. Who would have known that when Tin was coming to that youth club that God had his hand on his life? Who knows? Who would have thought that through a girl, even though she was a Christian, he wasn't? Who would have thought all those circumstances? And God puts those people in those places in our life because he is a sovereign God. He sees the beginning from the end. He is majestic. And we only see, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we only see darkly, don't we? We don't understand the pieces of the puzzle. We don't understand the full picture. But he is majestic in holiness. And in those times of transition, we don't want to be a pain management center. We can somehow learn to manage our pain, can't we? And we can somehow learn to medicate our pain. That's what happens in the world. When people are in pain, they learn to get the pills and they learn to manage their pain. But church is not a pain management center. It focuses on recognizing who God is, his greatness, his power, his authority in our lives. And we need to come, as we've done this morning, and recognize glory to God in the highest. Hosanna, all power, all authority belongs to him. Yes, of course we grieve. Of course we mourn. Of course there's a season of loss. But we don't stay there, do we? We don't get locked in there, and truthfully, Jim wouldn't want us to be in that stage either. Jim would say, recognize God's sovereignty. Recognize that he is highly exalted. Because you see, understanding the nature and recognizing the nature of God leads us to the work of God. Remember in Exodus chapter 3, Moses knew it from his own experience, where God calls him, and he makes all the excuses, of course, but God says, I have seen my people's misery, and I'm sending you. Isn't that good to know that God sees, that God does understand our pain, that he understands our grief, he understands our loss, but he doesn't say, I see it, oh well, there you go. You know. God's not English. He doesn't offer us a cup of tea and sympathy. Tea is not the answer to everything. Even though there is a book in the Bible called Hebrews. Sorry. He just got that, huh? I was expecting greater things of an elder in the church, but... God is not English. The answer to everything is not a cup of tea and a hobnob. However good they are. God seeing the need means he sends us. So that leads us on to the second point. Firstly, in a season of transition, we respond by recognizing the nature of God. Get your eyes on God, folks. Get your eyes on God. Secondly, in the season of transition, we respond by focusing on the work of God. Verse 13 says, in your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. Can you say He's redeemed you? Can you say that your sins are forgiven? Then you can be confident that He will lead you. Now, we have to be honest, it's not always the way we want to the places we want. Remember Peter? Jesus says to Peter, when you're older, you're going to be led in a way you don't like. And Peter sees John in the background and says, yeah, what about him? In other words, I don't mind having it tough as long as someone else has it tough as well. And Jesus said, no, 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 you must follow me. Folks, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Other people may be blessed. Other people may have a different journey. And we may wonder, God, why is this happening? Why is Mark so blessed? Why is, I don't know, everyone else so blessed? It seems that everyone is blessed but me. And God comes and says, no, I will lead you in a way that's right. Jesus says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the only assurance we have. We don't have the assurance that there will never be challenges or problems. But we have the assurance that God will lead us. What Tim didn't tell you from some of his story, and I know, because Tim has a good job. He had a nice car, nice company car. Very nice car. And God began to speak to him and say, that car's an idol in your life. I want you to get rid of it. And within a month, it sorted it out. You see, that's repentance. No one said to him, there's a problem with the car. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car. It was a nice car. But he still got a Ford Focus, so that's fine. But God identified and God led him. Another change that happened in his life is that his father said to him one day, I thought, maybe your mother, you love Jesus more than your girlfriend, don't you? What a testimony. That God has led him. His love for Jesus is a witness to his family. And understanding God's nature, who he is, leads us to know that God will lead us. And we know this story, it led them to the place of promise. And God wants other people to recognize. Look at verse 14. The peoples hear and tremble. Angry scripts those who live in Philistia. The leaders of Edom are terrified. The nobles of Moab tremble. All who live in Canaan melt away. You see, God leading you, God working in your life is not just for you. It's that other people might see it. It's that other people might recognize it. David said in the Psalms, the people will see, the people will hear, and they'll fear the Lord. That they will tremble, they will recognize God's working in your life. God wants to bring something to birth. God wants to do something in the life of this church, but there is no birth without pain, is there, ladies? Now, I have to be honest, it didn't hurt me that much. Bit of bruising on my hand where my wife was gripping me. But I can remember when Beb was giving birth to our first son, and she'd had enough at one point. And I don't know if it was the gas in the air or what, but she tried to get off the table just as Nathan was about to go. She said, I'm going home. And the midwife said, I don't think you are, love. I don't think you are. Your son is about to be born. But you see, so often because of pain, we give up before the harvest, don't we? We give up before something is born because it's painful. And there is that season of transition in the natural where the child has left the womb, but it's not yet into the world. And there is that dangerous place, that season of transition. Now, you and I know when the baby's born and it's in your arms, it's all the cooey stuff, it's worth it. Yeah, this is lovely. But there's that place where there's work to be done. where you have to push. And as someone said, push stands for pray until something happens. And as a church, you have to push. You're in a season where you have to push until God reveals your next pastor. Until God leads you to the right person. But you have work to do. And sometimes, as a church, we react as a child might react. Who, me? Through that? No. I can't get through there. It's never going to happen. How can I get through that challenge? How can I get through that small space? I hope this isn't too graphic. You can put your fingers in the children's ear. Someone said that a woman giving birth is like taking your bottom lip and putting it over the top of your head. Yeah, that's kind of the pain and the pressure and the things. And sometimes churches say, there's no way we're going to survive. There's no way we're going to make it. We don't know how we're going to get through this. But if we recognize the nature of God, if we recognize that God has a work for us, and that work will bring glory to Him as other people recognize it in our own life and in the life of the church. Finally, in the season of transition, we respond by recognizing, focusing on the future. Verse 17, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, you reserve for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. And because we've read, because we know our Bible, we know that God brought His people to a place of destiny. We know He brought them to a place of inheritance. We know that He brought them to a place of establishing them, even in the midst of the work, even in the midst of the battles. They still had giants to face, didn't they? Even in the promised land. That's why the promised land, Canaan, isn't a type of heaven. Do you know those old hymns we used to sing about getting to Canaan? Rubbish. It's nothing to do with heaven. Because in Canaan you have battles to fight. In Canaan you have giants to overcome. And the problem with the people of God then was that it says in Numbers 13, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own sight and also in theirs. And that's why it's important to recognize the starting point is seeing who God is. Understanding the greatness of God, because we can only pursue our destiny. We can only pursue our inheritance as individuals and as a church if we get a hold of God. And out of getting a hold of God and recognizing who He is, recognizing there's a great work for us to do. What did Jesus say? We must work while it's still day. There is a harvest. There's a harvest for you as a church. And I know as a church, part of your vision is that idea of impact. You want to impact your community, don't you? That's part of the idea of that building. Last time I was here, it was more of a building site and I couldn't see inside. But what great facilities. What a great job you've done in serving and giving and seeking to reach out. So let me remind you what your vision is, what your value. And the passing of Jim hasn't changed that. The vision remains the same. It's this idea of impact, the instruction in God's Word, that you actually do understand God's Word, that you hear God's Word, that you not only listen to it, but as Tim said, that you obey God's Word. And that can bring challenge sometimes into our life. It's mobilizing for ministry. There is a work for you to do. I don't believe that we should be in church as passengers. Tim only made his commitment to Christ earlier this year. And this week, he did the Alpha Talk. Because we believe as a church in equipping people and encouraging people, in releasing people. Because he has a work to do. God has a plan for him to do. I've already talked to him about next year coming on a mission trip with me. Who knows what God has for him. By the way, if you haven't had enough of me, I'm coming back in November. Sorry. Mark will give you the date so you can go somewhere else if you need to. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. And if you remember last time I was here, I was going on a mission trip to Pakistan. Well, I've been there and God did some amazing things. I'll share that a little bit more with you next time. And recently I've been in Macedonia as well. Because I believe we're called to serve. And you're called to serve in this place. If this is where God has placed you, if this is where God has planted you, that's what it says in verse 17, then you have a work to do in this place. It means instruction, it means mobilizing, it means praying with faith. Joining with the guys and saying, God, you have a pastor, you have a head servant for us. Who is it? Speak to them, speak to us. Lead them in a way that will take us on as a church. So pray with faith, believing that God has a plan and a purpose for you. It means adoring Jesus with passionate worship. It's great to see the kids involved. It's great to see them have a heart for worship, because I know for many people, and many young people, as they go through their teenage years, being involved in worship and serving is a way that they're connected to God. And we need passionate worship. Romans 12 verse 11 says that we should overflow with our zeal for God. That we should be passionate. You know what? God's not looking for preachers. Did you know that? What's God looking for? Worshippers. Those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. Preachers are 10 a penny. Worshippers is on the heart of God. So will you adore Jesus with passionate worship when you come together? Because that also flows out of your individual life. Who you are and what you do flows out of your individual life. It'll impact the church, but it's out of your individual life. Caring for one another. If you look in the New Testament, there's about 52 one another statements. But loving one another, supporting one another, caring for one another, praying for one another. Just do that little word study on one another, and you will see that God has made us interdependent. The problem nowadays is that so many people are independent. Yeah? They want to do their own thing. And particularly in the UK, particularly in the Western world, we have this individualistic mentality, don't we? Those of you who are from other cultures know that your church life and your family and your community has much more of an impact than your individual devotions, than your individual walk with God. We talk about my worship and my devotions and my church and my. We talk so much about our individual, but actually there's a corporate nature, and that idea of caring for one another is really important in Scripture, and it's important at this time, because some people take longer to process things. For some of you, Jim may have been the only pastor you've ever known, and that you may feel that loss. But as we've heard today, you haven't lost a shepherd. You still have the great shepherd of your soul. He's the overseer of your soul. But we need to care for one another, to be sensitive to one another. The final one, T, is telling others the good news. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. By all accounts in the world, it could be any day, couldn't it? I don't know, but it seems that the world's in a right mess. We had a friend we used to minister with. He was an ex-New York cop. He worked in the Bronx, Fort Apache, the Bronx, Precinct 13, the really tough place. And he felt God called him there. And he was a typical American in many ways. He was loud. He told everyone knew he was in the restaurant or the cafe or the shops. And everywhere you went, he would start off with, "Did I ever tell you about how I met Jesus?" And yes, he did. We had heard this story 50 times, but he was so loud, it was never for our benefit. It was three tables around, you could see them just starting to lean in. Yeah? And he used to say, "Preach Jesus, the rest is a mess." And I've come to see there's a lot of truth in that. Preach Jesus, the rest is a mess. People aren't interested in our theology, folks. It's good to have theology. I have a master's degree in it. I teach in a number of different countries around the world. Theologically, I would be pretty well educated. But people aren't interested in your theology. They want to know, have you encountered Jesus? And is He real? That's why we need to encounter Jesus. That's why we need to preach Jesus. We have a responsibility to tell others. You know, I see it all the time in the ministry that we have in CAP. People aren't interested in your theology. They don't understand it. Like Tim, he'd never been to church. He didn't know what happens in church. Most people have only been to church hatching, matching and dispatching. They've no idea. They think you're weird, if you didn't know that already. They think you're a lunatic. So live with that. We don't preach church, we preach Jesus. And that's part of your responsibility. God has placed you on this great corner plot for a reason. It's hard to miss this church when you drive by, isn't it? What a great spot you're in. But the challenge is, will you tell others about Jesus? So I don't know where you are personally. I do know where you are as a church. I know this is a season of transition for you. So how are you going to respond? In a season of transition, we need to respond by recognizing the nature of God. Maybe that's your starting point today. Maybe you are discouraged. Maybe you are downhearted. Maybe you think Jim's loss is the worst thing that could happen to you. Folks, I want to encourage you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes from where your help comes from. It comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121. Recognize God. Secondly, focus on the work of God. God has a work for you as an individual. God has a work for you as a church to do. Focus on the future. Focus on that vision for you to impact your community. And say, here I am. Not here I am, send someone else. But we respond like Isaiah and say, here I am, send me. What do you need to do this morning? How do you need to respond to this season of transition in the life of the church? Let's pray. Father, we bless you for your word. Bless you for the reminder that there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. And we recognize today that as this church enters a season of transition, maybe one that we didn't ask for, maybe one that we wouldn't have welcomed, but God, it is here. It is upon us. So Father, we pray that we as individuals would respond in the right way. That we as a church would respond as a right way. That we would go on and be a church along with Elam, along with St. Andrews, along with others, to be a church that longs to see the community impacted. That longs to see people like Tin encounter Jesus, encounter new life for the glory of God. Help us to have courage to respond to you today, as individuals and as the church. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.